Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. In just a few short days, I will be in Austin, Texas for the 5th Owner Summit, where 150 owners of digital shops are getting together to share, learn, collaborate, and commiserate over all things owning a digital shop. So that's going to be so much fun. But before I hit that dusty trail, it is my pleasure to share with you a conversation I had with the CEO of Vogzy, Mr. Mark Van Leeuwen, and he shares all about his insights that he's gathered from working with so many people running service organizations. It's a great episode. I hope you enjoy it. Mark is a friend. He's also a great supporter of the Bureau through the company he's the CEO of, Vogzy.
Yes.
He's joining us today from Amsterdam, or just outside of Amsterdam, I think. Yeah. Is that right?
Stone's throw away, like
and
everything.
We're glad to have you on the show.
Thanks, Carl. Happy to be here.
Well, tell everybody a little bit about your background and how you ended up at Vogzy.
Good question. I've been working in some way, shape, or form in projects all my life, starting out with a large multinational bank, doing all kinds of projects there internally. Moved from there to a startup, a services company, where we were selling e-business consulting to large corporates. And that's where technology sort of came into my life. Moved on to basically the other side. Some would call it the dark side of the software vendors.
Now, why is it the dark side?
I don't know. Some people feel that way. I never did.
You spend a lot of time with service organizations. Yeah. That's kind of your main gig now, right?
That's all I do. Yeah.
So what are some of the common issues you see shops suffering from?
Well, there's detail, which is different for every company, but the big picture is always kind of similar. So if you're an owner of an agency or a CEO or senior leader, then obviously you want to run a tight ship. You know, you want to see profit grow, you want to see revenue grow, you want to see people coming on board, new clients. At the same time, you also want to have some fun whilst doing it. And that's a bit of a conundrum right there. How to combine those two. You'll probably want to take some technology on board to help you with that and ultimately end up with 15 different apps doing all kinds of different things, not being connected, and you never know what to find where to go for what piece of information, and people get frustrated. And that's what we try to solve basically with what we do.
You're so right. Everybody ends up with, it could be 15 different apps, and then we're all working with APIs trying to connect everything together, and that's not fun, right? But I am curious why you say, I guess I get it. When you run a tight ship and you're also trying to have fun, that is kind of an interesting thing. But in our industry, having fun is not only part of culture, it's part of recruiting, it's part of marketing, it's part of everything about our shops. So I'm curious, when we start looking at this, are people reluctant to give up the way that they've been doing things? I think I've heard you say before that we have to happily knock down what we think is the absolute truth. And so is that a struggle when you start talking with shop owners?
I think it's a struggle. It's a struggle for me, in my everyday life. So the importance of being fragile is what I dubbed that to be. We all know agile. You need to be agile if you're an agency, if you're building product, blah, blah, blah. But you also need to be willing and able to fail and then recover quickly, right? So that put those acronyms together, you get fragile. And the I use it is because it reminds me that whatever I think about today or make today or create today or decide today, I need to be able to kick that down easily tomorrow. If it doesn't work out, it needs to go. So it has to be fragile for at least some amount of time.
Well, and that gets to flexibility, right? To be,
but that takes, we're all prisoners of our own experience. And we tend to do what we always did, and then we end up getting what we always got.
Right.
And I've been doing this, you know, with Fogsy for long enough now to know that it takes a long time to eradicate that, get rid of this behavior completely. But we also see it, you know, with agencies, with clients. You know, you buy into the big picture, you go for it, you want it, you're ambitious. We connect on the energy level. You want the same thing, and then you go into the detail, and then, you know, sometimes things slow down, and we have to take them by the hand and sort of lead them to the promised land, if you will, of how you can let go of certain things, certain controls, because you don't need those controls anymore. But that's being taken care of by technology now, and that takes a little bit of getting used to. You know, fear of the unknown sometimes.
Well, especially for shops in this industry, because most of the shops that I know through the bureau community started somewhere in, well, some in the late 90s, but most in the early to mid 2000s. And so we grew up just, you know, it was fake it till you make it. It was hustle. It was a lot of hard work. And we sometimes don't trust when something's easy. It's that it can't be that easy. And then we actually, I've been through it myself, and I've seen others go through it, where you almost mourn the loss of the chaos a little bit.
Yeah. So you need to get something in return to make it worthwhile, right?
Yeah.
That's what we try to do. Conversations I try to have when first engaging is think about, or put yourself in this mindset, of planning to sell your business. I'm not saying, you know, do it. Just put yourself in that and think about what buyers, you know, want to see, if they will, if they want to give you a good valuation for your company, because that can vary greatly.
Right.
So what are the things they're looking at? And if you go down this route, what will you be getting there for? So buyers look at things like, you know, what is your services mix, your customer mix, the quality of your revenue. So what's your lock-in with clients? How is your billing that goes into process? Do you have a unique proposition? What about your people? Are they, you know, do they stay on board? Do people happily join your company? And of course, the, you know, the numbers, profit margins, year-on-year growth, what's your win ratio on your deals? All that stuff increases your valuation. And that's why I like that mindset, because it encompasses everything. And yes, change is hard, can be hard. We try and make it as easy as possible by using technology that is, you know, very intuitive to use and easy and straightforward. But you need to see the benefit along the way and understand that, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody wants to buy my company. These are things that I want anyway, right? Profit. I want a good customer mix.
That's right.
I want all those things. And then we can work together and map that out.
Right. Nobody wants a culture of difficulty, right? Nobody wants everybody to experience things being slightly disconnected. I mean, that's absolutely no good. It's interesting that you bring up the idea of selling. You know, mergers and acquisitions over the past 2 years in our space mm-hmm. specifically has heated up. And what's interesting, especially with what I would say mid-sized shops, right? Anywhere from 30 to 50, I would say this group has always struggled to understand if it was something they could sell one day, because we'd always been told that a service shop is only basically selling the people, right? Now, obviously there's also reputation. There's also all these other things, but to your point, if it's like the e-myth, right? If something is simple to replicate, if something is simple to maintain, then it's easier to sell. It's easier to explain what it is that you do. So that makes perfect sense that if you've got, you know, this house of cards of technology that's running your company, it's going to be less likely somebody's going to be excited about coming in versus if you have something that's solid, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to show how things work and why they work the way that they do and why the results are what they are. And that, you know, it will be the same next year. Because if somebody puts that money in your wallet and you walk away, they want to be sure that discontinues. And I would argue that most owners or senior leaders would want that anyway. You know, you build something not just for today. You want it, well, in some way to be everlasting, but anyway, you want it to be lasting, right? So that works, I think, this mindset. And services shops, yes, I mean, to some extent, they are like flowers in some way. You know, if you don't water them, then they go away.
That's very true. I've seen that a little bit over the past couple of years too.
With agencies, what you also see, and maybe this has something to do with it, is the desire to create product, you know, to create IP, because IP is worth something, and it creates uniqueness and all that stuff, recurring revenue and all these things.
Well, that is something that people are always looking for, is what is the recurring revenue? How can I get out of the service business? The reality is most people stay with it, and the products they try to launch, they don't understand what servicing that product is. And it is still service, right? It's just instead of clients, you have customers. So that's always been one of those things for me. And I think you're right also that owners want things to be better, and it could be so they can spin up their own stuff or so that they can improve their service company. But one of the issues I think a lot of people have is they can't find the benchmarks. And if they do find the benchmarks and can figure out what they're trying to improve, they don't always get good data.
That is very true. You know, what drew me also to the Bureau, other than the fact that we found out that you live kind of across from where I used to live back in the 80s in Jacksonville.
Everybody lived in Jacksonville at some point.
And Good Energy was also the... I think, you know, well, where do currently people that go to your summits and your boot camps and whatnot, why do they go? In a way, to learn from each other and to benchmark against each other. I would hope that we can find some people who want to think with us about how we could add some data points and make that sort of an ongoing process for people.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be fun. We've got the... Digital Services Outlook survey. We've got all the responses in right now, and that report's being put together, which I think this will be the third year we've done it. It's interesting. It's a high level view, but to your point, if we start looking at benchmarks, and I know that the team over at Summit CPA with, yeah, they have a lot of insight to financials and to digital shops, you know, they're doing stuff over there, but it is interesting if we can start really boiling down some of these benchmarks, find the right levers, and see how you're doing against the Bureau community anyway, if not the bigger industry.
Your peers, yeah. Anonymized, of course, but, you know, say I score an 8 on whatever it may be. Okay, that's wonderful. Should it be an 8, though? How do I know?
And that's always one of the struggles. Like, even if you're looking at MailChimp, and you see how in your industry... what an open rate is, right? But in your industry includes so much stuff that's not you. Whereas if you can fine tune it, if you can really get under the microscope of companies that are like you, right? What does that look like? That's one of the things actually I wanted us to talk about, because you had a story about a Canadian company, an IT company, yeah, I think, that was using AI for their supply chain. And I was listening to you tell this, and I really wanted to get it on the show because this is a fascinating story. So give us a little of the background on this Canadian company that I think is a client, right?
We've started onboarding. So this is a not-for-profit company. So at current, they're being funded with taxpayer money, which I know is a hot topic, or it was in the US, and maybe still is, but...
It definitely is.
You know, probably anywhere, same in Canada. But what is their job? Basically, their government recognized that there's a lot going on with AI in the world, you know, this huge technology push, and all sorts of different ways to make use of that technology are being developed. But they felt that the economy in Canada is sort of lagging in that respect. It's not picking that up quickly enough. So let's start this company of a bunch of experts who know about this place where AI and supply chain meet. So they have knowledge of both these aspects. And it's a good place to start because there's a lot of data and they grow quickly. So one of the issues, one of the main issues they had was how do we predict when we need to hire this profile or that role or whatever?
Yeah, it's a big challenge for everybody. Yeah.
In their case, maybe even more so because, you know, they need to report all this stuff back up the food chain and they're getting funded. So you need to, you know, they can hire, but you better have your story straight. So what is the opportunity cost and what are we going to gain if we do this? Basically what they're using our product to get this right. So what they put in there is their live projects, their short-term opportunities, things that are going to fall next month or maybe the month after, all the way through to the longer-term sort of, you know, upside kind of project, and then start planning against it. And what it spits out at the other end is basically one overview that tells you where you are right now in terms of your profitability per person, per headcount. I don't necessarily like that term, but okay. And over time, it tells you if you land this project, you will make this much money, but you need to spend this much money and you need to have this amount of that type of profile and all of that stuff. Sort of all in one place. They're not to do anything other than that than what they were doing in the past, because they were planning this anyway, sort of on sheets and, you know, all that stuff. But it's very difficult to get that prognosis out there and get the business case together.
Well, and that's the thing that I think everybody listening would appreciate. We get nervous about spending the money without knowing that we're going to make the money.
Yeah, and you can hire someone today, but it doesn't mean they're going to actually be productive straight away.
It more than likely won't be.
And so do you take that leap of faith or what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. And so just that story, so that they now have this insight, they have this visibility, and they're not doing anything really different than they did before. It's just all the data is coming into one place where now it can be sliced and diced and viewed in a digestible format so that they can make good decisions. That's the dream. Well, Mark, I'm so glad you were able to swing by the Bureau Studios today and share a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Thanks, Carl. I look forward to seeing you in Austin and a whole lot of other people as well. So that'd be great.
We will be. We'll be in Austin for Owner Summit, the fifth one. And I'm excited. It's like a wedding for me. Every time I'm there, I like see so many people I haven't seen before. And before you know it, they're gone. You barely get to say hello, but it's such an amazingly good and educational time. So it'll be great to see you over there, Mark.
Absolutely. Thanks, Carl.
You got it. And for everybody listening, thank you so much. And we'll be back next week. All the best.